using Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Helene the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. If I'm being received in transmission, you don't have to let me know. Either engage or I'll just continue to monologue as I reach my destination to really give full voice. But in any event, this is another session of Booker T. Washington Speaks and the African-American Family Room, which is a forum. So we are certainly welcome you to this date here, and we have a topic that's talking to should it be for ministers to endorse politicians for voting. Very much a subject that certainly needs to be addressed. So I guess what I'd like to say is this. Yeah, I'd like to just say a prayer to kind of walk us through so we can slow up a little bit and then and understand that there's a master universe that's controlling all our efforts. So here we go. Ayudu bilahimina shatone rajim. Bismillahi rahmani rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar rahmani rahim maliki yawmidin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. In the Arabic, I say it in English now. What's the name of God, Almighty Creator, Heaven of the Universe? Praise be to God, Cherish and Stay of the World, Most Gracious, Most Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us a straight way. The way on those who thou hast bestowed thy faith, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. Let it be so. My name again, Halim, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. We have this supporter, the co-host, our host and moderator, the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, the professor, and here he is.
Good evening. And welcome.
again to another family room forum, a opportunity for members of the African American community, our family, our ethnic family, our genetic family, to come together in unity, though we may always not disagree, and to discuss things that are of interest to us as a community in America. So our host has already given us the topic, and we just want to reiterate the fact of the matter is we have a very important need to do something in our community. We have to address a lot of problems as a community, and whether we realize it or not, I think most people realize that the church, the Christian church, is the central institution in the black community, even more so than the public school. And because of that fact, the ministers or preachers or bishops in the Christian church within our neighborhood have a great deal of influence. And so the question that we're addressing deals with whether they should use that influence. I'm getting a lot of echo. I don't know why. But I'm going to try to reduce it. But the fact of the matter is that we need to have leaders that are speaking up for our people and supporting people who will work for the benefit of our people, and we'll promote these leaders so that we'll know about them. And when it comes time to select people to be in office, political office, that we will be able to have our people at least know about these people that want to help us. We can't walk into the poll booth and tell them to vote. They won't let you do that. You can't go up to the poll booth with anybody. They have to go up there and vote their own conscience. But at least we can inform them of the positive things that these politicians that want to help the black community, whether they're black or white or Hispanic or Asian, if they want to help our community, our people should be told about them. And they should be recognized and even given an opportunity to speak directly to our people, followed up by support from our leaders. So the question is, should our leaders use their pulpits to promote politicians who promise to help the black community, or should they remain impartial and silent? So it looks like it's just you and myself right now, Ms. Dr. Haleen, and I know your time is somewhat limited. And so I just want to see if we can hear your opinion on this topic. Just, you know, let us hear what you have to say.
Well, Professor, there's some reverberation from your speaking. I don't hear it coming from my speaking, but in any event, if I may say that everything in politics has to be transparent. And between like church and state, there is a separation of and responsibility, right? Separation for reasons of not letting church control state and state control church. Now, under what I see, what is the legal part that really needs to be done to be able to do that, is to have a organization like a political action coalition or something, a PAC group or something like that, that's separate. Now, at that point, it becomes not a conflict. It kind of tears down the firewall. You know, it's like, for example, you have a bank and an investment firm that's living right next door to each other or the same office, and the information is being, like, shared, and it becomes sometimes an unfair advantage in the terms of banking investment, right? But in terms of what I see from the religious leaders having that, I would think that they would want to have a lot of integrity and trust in the voters. And if, as a member of the church, they need to have a packed group that they are affiliated with, perhaps. And that would satisfy the, from my perspective, what would be a clean severance of that. I'm going to wait and listen now.
Okay. I reverberation of God. What's happening is that I'm tuned in. I have a mic, which I think I had turned off on my laptop. And then I also have my phone on. I'm going to turn the phone off and see if you can still hear me.
You still have some reverberations. So you still got some reverberation. Now, I'm just going to comment. You still have some reverberation? Is better now? Is it better?
I'm really able to figure out. I think it's coming from my mic. On my computer, but I don't have the mic turned on. That's the problem. I can't figure out how to deal with that.
I think Murphy's Law is in effect today on a lot of different circumstances. Let me just kind of say some things. I'm on the bus right now, headed through a location, but it's Murphy's Law, and things happen. We just have to be able to just pass it. And I know you're a man that knows how to get by it, so I'm very, you know. This is like a test of our faith right now, sir. and so the faithful have to be patient, and then patience and perseverance to make the objective,
no.
Meet the goal. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know what the problem is. You still hear it?
No, I don't hear it now. Not at all.
Can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
Am I loud enough?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, good. Well, maybe something was going on that just went away. So
yes,
you're saying that you're getting ready to go off the air?
No, I'm still here now. I'm going to stay here because I'm still riding that transit system where our destination is. So I'm going to be here. I'm here locked and loaded with you, sir.
Okay. Well, let me get back on the topic then. See, the issue is, first of all, you know, there is a principle concerning the separation of church and state. But we're not talking about in that separation of church and state. We're not talking about people that are aspiring after the invitation has been extended and they say what they want to do for the community, that as politicians, that they're going to come back and try to rule the church. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about the church leaders saying that Reverend John Brown or Imam Rahman Abdullah or Sister Mary Smith is a member of our community, a person that wants to help our community, that's willing to invest a lot of time and energy in doing things in our community. And we want to invite her to come and give us a presentation, but I already can tell you that what she's doing, from everything I've observed, is going to help our community, and we should go to the polls with her in mind. You can vote your preference. Maybe you have another person you know better, but I'm just saying that my opinion, knowing this person and knowing that this person is sincere about helping the community, is that we should support this person's candidacy. Now, that person's not in office. That person don't represent the government. It's not like the government and the church have any kind of relationship in this case. It's just that he is an individual that would like to be in the government. And once that person becomes a part of the government, then that's a different story. That person can come to the church and tell the church people what to do, except to maybe remind the people what the law is, which anybody can do that. And the church people can't tell that person how to vote. But, if, well, I don't know. Maybe church people should tell the person if there's a bond referendum being promoted where they're going to provide fix-up money for a lot of the homes that can be fixed up to give that neighborhood a better living opportunity. Maybe we should say to that person, hey, we heard about this. Or maybe it's not a bond issue. Maybe it's something that's going on in the city council. You need to vote for this. You know, you represent our community. That's where we need help. You need. I don't see where that's a real problem in the church and state doctrine. But I could be wrong. I was just looking it up on the internet, and it is kind of fuzzy in a sense. But the thing about it is we definitely need to have the people that have the most influence in our communities to be speaking towards that, which is good, even if it means promoting people that are going to do good. If they can't do that, what is their value? That's my question. Go ahead. Stephanie, welcome to the show. We were just talking about the topic. I'll just go ahead and tell it. Brother Dr. Eileen, should church leaders use their pulpits to promote politicians who promise to help the black community, or should they remain impartial and silent? So that's what we were talking about. Brother Dr. Eileen would open up with some comments, and my comments were a little bit on the opposite side of the question. So we got two different opinions here. We'd like to hear your opinion on that topic. Are you there, Stephanie?
Oh, I didn't know you were talking about me. Hold on. Let me go to a quiet place. Give me a minute. Assalamu alaikum. I am here. Hi, everyone. Hello. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum. I can hear you.
Well, I think... voting and supporting our politicians is very important. But just because they make these promises don't mean they're going to fall through with them. And that's the scary part. But it's so important to vote, because then when we don't vote and we wind up with somebody in there doing us any old kind of way, what can we say? Can we then start complaining, you know, that they're not doing anything right, and we don't like the way they're doing and what they're proposing, you know? But when they were running for office, we didn't step up. We got to step up. We've got to vote. That's very important.
Well, Seth,
I don't
let me
know.
Interrupt now. What we're trying to talk about, though, is whether the church leaders should use their pulpits to promote these politicians who make these promises.
I don't know about that, because, you know, voting is supposed to be a personal thing. And nowadays, I mean, you have strangers calling you on the phone asking you if you're Democratic, Republican, or which way are you going to vote. And that used to be a private thing. I don't know if church and politics is a good mixture.
So what is the purpose of the church then? If they can't help us improve our community, what is their reason for existing?
Well, persuading a person to vote for this or that politician, the church is there to promote people with their spirituality.
Well, how can you, I'm not trying to be argumentative, but how can you separate the spirituality from the reality of their existence in their neighborhood?
Well, I ain't never read nothing in the Bible about
We're not talking about the Bible. We're just talking about common
study in church.
How can we not deal with the reality of their living conditions and expect them to have a good spiritual existence?
I don't know. You know, churches do it nowadays. They definitely do. They political issues in church. That's kind of a no-no to me.
Listen, let me tell you. In the civil rights movement, the church was the bedrock of the movement. You know, we were
telling the people that they should go and vote to change the laws. The preachers were the main vanguards of the political movement to bring justice and freedom to our people. And then I think what has happened is that the churches started taking money from the government, which made them shut up and not have the leadership role. So I think the government bought the church leaders out, so they can't speak up. They're afraid to speak up, so they'll lose that money.
Professor, I don't know if you can hear me, but I concur with you on that. I concur with you on that, Professor. Let me say that a lot of this, what is the current spending that the Bush administration started, their relationship with these churches, and a lot of these like homeless shelters are tied to some of that money. They call it faith-based funding. Now that's a kind of like an oxymoron in the idea that it's a faith-based funding, but it also has a faith-based pushing of the Christian ideologies down the throat. So people who may not want to be a Christian, a Muslim, or a Buddhist, or Jew, they might just want to be an atheist. So it's like they screen them out, and I know what I'm talking about in that sense, right? I want to say that my initial comments was thinking that the politician was a politician outside of the church. But in the case that you so described, I think at that point, every member has a responsibility to stand in unity with what is the common sense of what this the community is living through, and people in the church, and that doesn't disqualify them. And I think also, too, if you think about the Selma, when the voting rights was like being forced to actually not register to be able to vote, and the churches had to mobilize and keep sending waves and waves of people to the point that it became like distinguished that this was like really a racist effort. So the church holds a very important position there under that. Yes, sir. I'm through.
What do you think about that, Stephanie?
You know, I'm hard-headed. I still think that that's my vote is my personal business. The churches do promote politics, but I don't think it belongs in the church. I just don't.
So let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to be argumentative.
Going to be offended.
What do you think does belong in the church there?
Love, unity, and coming together to worship God.
That's it.
You know, to learn what God wants out of us.
So the church shouldn't be involved in trying to find homes for the people that's in the church that can't find a home, or feeding people that are out of work. You shouldn't be doing none of that.
Yes, that's part of their salvation. Is to reach out and help people.
That's right, because Jesus would have done it. Jesus would have gone out there and got some loaves and fishes and fed everybody that was hungry.
That's right, yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you what happened.
Encouraging people on where to vote.
Well, we're not just to vote. We were really just talking about supporting people that said that they were going supporting politicians. I didn't even say in the topic about supporting them by voting for them. I said, should the church leaders use their pulpits to promote politicians? That could be saying that if Brother James Freeman, who happens to be a politician, is down there with a program, and I do know right here in Augusta, Georgia, there is a preacher who has a program to, it's like a Goodwill, but it's run by the church. And this preacher is, the pastor is the director of this program. You can see them down there in that building that he has rented with all of these cleaned up and pressed used clothes that people donate. And he has a committee of people that are cleaning the clothes and pressing them, and is selling them to make money to help poor people. But say if a politician was wanting to set up something like that and came to the church looking for support, then we're not even talking about vote. We're just talking about the preacher getting up here and says that Sam Williams has got this clothes giveaway program, and we need to take our old clothes out there and let him have them so he can sell them to help money to feed homeless. So when I say promote politicians, I'm not necessarily saying tell people that they have to vote for them, but I think the preacher should elevate and raise up and acknowledge and, yes, even promote these people that want to do good for the community. And one other thing I do want to say before I get off, before I turn it over, you know, in 1974, I was a member of the Solomon Temple Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, California. You may have some idea, Halim, where that is. But it's out there by Concord and Walnut Creek, I lived out there for a year and a half, and during that time, I joined the Solomon Temple Baptist Church, and I told the pastor that I wanted to preach, and he said that they would give me a trial sermon, and I did the trial sermon, and that same night they gave me a license to preach in the Baptist Church. And then once you get licensed in one Baptist Church, that generally means you can preach in any Baptist Church. So he took me around to different Baptist churches and introduced me as Reverend Marshall, which I like to be called, and at that time. And I preached in these various, churches. You know, after preaching, and I was even made the superintendent of the Sunday school. This is in 1974. And so I wanted to talk about something that was bothering me. And I had, at the same time I was doing that, I had a job as an insurance man, collecting insurance. So I was in the homes of 100 or so people on my debit every week, and they told me their problems. The ladies, before they paid me, they want to sit down and tell me the troubles going on in the family, to some extent, not everything, but a lot of stuff. And I would examine the condition of the homes. A lot of people lived in the projects. A lot of people lived in other neighborhoods that weren't well-to-do. I had a few that were pretty well-off, but a lot of them were poor people. And so I said to the pastor, I asked him for a meeting, and I said, why aren't we trying to do anything? Why aren't the, it was three ministers, a pastor, and two associate pastors. I was one of the associate pastors. I said, why aren't the pastors, preachers, us, doing anything more to go out and try to do something to help change these people's poor condition? And he kind of gave me an opinion similar to what you're saying, Stephanie. He said, that's not our job. Our job is just to preach the word. Well, my feeling about that was that the church is not worth its salt. If it can't help the people have a better life, the word is not going to do you no good if the word is not followed up by action. People can't just live off the word. Jesus said you need bread along with the word. People can't make it in this world if they're hungry because they don't have a job or they don't have an opportunity to get a job, just sitting up in church hollering and moaning and shouting and jumping up and being. That don't last but 5 or 10 minutes after you get out of church, and then you go back to your empty house where the cupboard is bare. What good is that? That's my opinion. To me, that's just like some kind of trick bag to get the people putting money in the pocket of the preacher so he can buy them a new car. That's not helping them.
No.
Well, I have a comment, Professor.
Go ahead. That's just my opinion. I feel I see Mr. Piaget just doing. So let me ask y'all, please don't get into it. Definitely be nice. Hope y'all be nice. We want everybody's opinion, okay? All right.
How you doing, Mr. Washington?
Welcome, Mr. Piaget. You heard me just admonish my sister. Now we want to have a nice family.
What are they doing? Bashing the white man?
No, I don't like that. Have you heard me on this show bashing?
I heard your guest.
Oh, well, I guess you can say what they want to say, but like you can say what you want to say. How
nobody
do you say what you want to say?
Anyone.
Okay,
but you know,
what are you talking about?
We have a
You know, the thing is that when people go through life, see, what you do today, and that old saying, what you reap, you shall sow, what you do today is going to affect you tomorrow, no matter how young you are. And whether you do something on your own fruition or you're being influenced or directed by someone else who's supposed to be in charge of your well-being, that's going to be affect your life in the future. So this thing I hear folks saying that life and liberty is just a saying. But, you know, equal outcome is not guaranteed. You should have equal access, but equal outcome is no guarantee. And for various reasons, as we just said before, people who don't do the necessary things and put things in place and follow a prescribed set of rules, then their outcome can be all over the place. And I'm for letting people have equal access to education, whether it's in a school building, whether it's online, whether you're getting books yourself. But if you don't do that, and then you complain that you don't have enough from one job, then you have to have two or three jobs, then apparently you've done something wrong at some point in your life. And therefore, that responsibility falls, that burden falls on you.
Okay, let me go back to the main topic. That's a good point, but let me go back to the main topic. I support that, but let me go back to the main topic, and that's a question. And the question is, should church leaders use their pulpits to promote politicians who promise to help the black community, or should they remain impartial and silent? So that's really what we were focusing on to begin.
That in itself is backwards. And only in certain dysfunctional arenas do you see where a politician would come in and say what they're going to do rather than taking orders from their constituents. Constituents are supposed to demand things out of politicians, give them their directive. Now, their directive may not be their sole task that they perform. They may perform some other things, get involved in. But one thing for sure is that constituents, the citizens, are supposed to choose their politicians based on a agenda that they want that person to carry out. You're supposed to identify the agenda, identify somebody that can go to the state house or to the federal houses and put that agenda into effect and bring home, quote unquote, the bacon. And if you're not demanding that out of the individuals that you vote for, then you got it backwards. And that's dysfunction.
Well, the church leaders in the time when you and I were growing up, Ms. Bianca, and I'm sure you can probably remember this, were very, very out front and increasing what I would say acknowledgement of, like a lot of these young brothers, they weren't really politicians like they were running for office, but they were trying to change the segregation laws. They were trying to change the system, and the preachers would invite these young people to, and they weren't all young people, but most of those preachers were in their late 20s and 30s. Reverend Shuttlesworth and Abernathy and King and some of the other ones down there, Andy Young and some of them down in Alabama and Georgia. But they would invite some of these college kids that had dropped out of college for a year or two to go out there and do voter registration and help promote change in the society. And you don't see that too much today, and that's why I brought this question up tonight. You know, do you think maybe the church leaders are backed away from that because maybe they're getting paid off by the government to be a—
Well, back during that time, Mr. Washington, I could see the need for them. But now you don't have a need for them. You know, anyone that wants to vote, anyone that wants to register, they can register. That is, if they qualified in the state that they hail from. But there's no test that you have to do today in order for you to vote, like was being handed down in some municipalities, in some states, in some cities. So I don't think that the church needs to be doing that today, no. Unless the parishioners, the citizens, the citizens demand that of them.
Because where do you draw a line in the church? I mean, you have bingo being played in the church and bake sales and selling things, and now the preacher at the pulpit talking politics and encouraging people on who to vote for at the pulpit. I mean, it says in the Bible how Jesus came through them synagogues turning over tables and stuff. That is not what the church is there for. It's to praise God.
No, you did that. The Bible says that because those people were cheating folks. They were money changers that were cheating folks. They were doing wrong. It wasn't that they had legitimate business.
That's wrong, too, brother.
I mean, Jesus wasn't.
No, I don't want to hear nothing about politics in church.
He was
that after church, at the voting polls.
Jesus was a man.
Local rec center, anything.
And you don't think they should have nothing in church but praying and singing, huh?
It's not just praying and singing. It's praising God.
It's focusing on our
Creator. Giving Him the glory.
You don't think they should have no daycare program?
And
you
learning
don't
the scriptures.
No,
the ways we ought to do.
No feed the hungry program, none of that stuff?
Yeah, you can do those things, but that's just going a little bit too far. Politics.
I have a comment. That's
some dirty business. I know it's necessary, just like money. It's dirty, root of all evil, but it's necessary to divide. Politics is dirty, too. You don't belong in the pulpit.
No, I don't think so. Not my opinion.
Sorry. Professor, I like you. I don't want to cut you off anything, but I have something to say on that when you get open opportunity for me.
Let's jump in. If nobody else is talking, if they're talking too long, you can say, excuse me, can I take it?
I want to say that Mr. Pianchi is correct. You know, I mean, people got a choice, a free will. That's what we got a free will for. But I want to say, as a connector, Jesus himself said that greater works will you do and I. And the idea, to my mind,
Halim, are you okay?
Halim, I can't
hear
him.
No, he dropped off. I don't know. He's some reason or another. He just came back on. Something happened. His phone went out. So I guess.
Yeah.
Are you back?
Yes, sir. I'm back. And what I was saying though, the greater works. That's the premise of what is serving God is through the greater works. And Jesus made that clear. Greater works will you do than I, right? And so that tells me it's work. It's not talk. And that's what I'm saying and what I'm sensing. That we have got to the point where, the politician money definitely has shut people up because they said, we don't want you to say these kind of things that take away their power. But the bottom line, there are pastors in the past that had a lot more courage and stood on the works in the times that we was getting murdered as black people, man. You know, today we get murdered in terms of poverty. And so nobody's saying anything about it, but just the idea of doing something about it is a better thing. Feeding the homeless is great. You know, it's all important. Getting housing for the homeless is great. It's a need. This country right now economically is going through some really transitional period that's really blowing a lot of people off who are at the bottom, putting them in the ground, literally. All right? That's my comments.
Well, I just want to make this and I'll turn it over to y'all. But, you know, I have a picture in my mind because I live in a town. I don't live in that section of town, but I go there from time to time. But I live in a town where there's a very old neighborhood of black people, probably 200 years old, to be honest with you. But it's the housing there average like about 70, 80 years old. And a lot of them are in bad repair. A lot of old people that can't pay to get them fixed. But they pay enough to keep the house from being taken for taxes. And they may have fences that need to be repaired. And these houses, a lot of them are right next to the church. And a lot of people know these old people. They may not attend that church, but they know these people, been knowing them most of their life. and they'll leave church in the happy spirit and everything, and walk past somebody with the porch steps need to be fixed, or the door is hanging off the hinge on the front fence, and they won't even take that Jesus spirit which they have gotten after the service up to the porch and say, "Ma'am, I know a young man that would like an opportunity just for charity, and you don't have to pay him, or I'll pay for him to come in here and fix your porch. When will you be available? We can come back." That's not even in their mind. They all happy in their own spirit, but not even thinking about what did Jesus say, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And so something is wrong with that picture. And I'm just saying that if there's somebody that comes to church and he has a track record, I'm not talking about somebody unknown, of wanting to do things in the community, don't you think the preacher should introduce them to the people if they don't know them and say, "You know, this is Brother John Smith or John Williams, and yes, he may be running for the alderman position, but the reason why we want him to be familiar to you is because he needs your support, maybe not just your vote, but he needs people to join the committee to help to fix the neighborhood." I'm just saying that the church leaders, in my opinion, this is used to give my opinion, but they should use that pulpit to promote people, whether they're politicians, I can take that and change it, who want to help the black community. They shouldn't just be impartial and be quiet and just, and I'm not trying to in any way criticize your position, Stephanie, but just be
leading
the
people. Oh, because our church does do that. Our church does that every week, all through
yeah.
the neighborhood. And we also feed people and we donate.
Right.
We do all of
right.
that. But we're not going to have a politician up there or the preachers speaking politics. You know, we have a committee for that. But in the church, in the synagogue, no. No, it's just a time and place for everything. And
okay, well,
our time from praising.
I'm going to come back later and tell y'all about a very famous project.
All of that.
Adam Clayton Brown.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, but what politician in their right mind would seek an endorsement from Louis Farrakhan?
I don't know. You have people like Ellison, who's a Muslim. He might. I don't know where he stands with Farrakhan. And by the way, while we're on that subject, I want to go ahead and use this forum, this bullet pulpit, to make out to ask for prayers and condolences for the Farrakhan family. Louis Farrakhan's elder son died yesterday, I believe it was yesterday. And they had a lot of problems with him growing up. And, you know, it's been a sad story throughout most of his life. He was one of those kids that didn't want to go in the direction of his daddy. But he's still a child of our community, whether we like or don't like Farrakhan. So I just want to extend my personal condolences to Louis Farrakhan and Khadija Farrakhan on that occasion. But let's go ahead and continue. Yeah, I believe
that may be. Yeah, look at Obama. Obama had to renounce him. Obama had to renounce him. And, you know, good gracious, Elijah Muhammad is not around today. But now a Christian pastor, which this country stands to reason with, you could speak like that. But anyway you go, I wouldn't want a preacher telling my politician. That's just backwards.
No,
and here's the point. A preacher is supposed to prepare you for for when you die.
Amen.
Well,
that's all.
So what is politicians doing? They're not doing anything. Well, I'm not going to say, but are they preparing you to live?
King wasn't preparing people to die. He was preparing people to live with freedom.
Oh,
well.
Boy.
Anyway,
can
I'm going to
continue. I'd like to say something if I could.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, so the idea is that, I mean, you know, in the times past now, there was a lot of preachers who were like really activists, right, for community. And that, they had good right to be because there was a lot of discrimination and stuff. And without them saying and mobilizing, things wouldn't have happened in terms of the positive outcome that some of us, many of us, enjoy today. Now, the idea is that in the spiritual speaking, if I can't have a member of my church, that was the premise that I was kind of went through the second phase in terms of the conflict, especially talk about in terms of the church and state, but in terms of a member from the church being, you know, standing up and saying, hey, I'm running for office, guys. I'm just doing a check and see whether or not you think that I could add some value to us, because I know what we're going through as a people in this little small community. So I know that that's important. So don't look at that person as a politician. Look at them as a sincere servant. Because politician is like people who like to tell, in my opinion now, they tell lies back and forth just to get a
Amen.
Vote. But a person who's in the church, they may have a spirit of saying, hey, I'm a member of this church, a member of this community, and I'm tired of seeing the land disappear through gentrification, through redlining, and whatever other stuff is happening. And so that's just something we really got to think through. Now, otherwise, if we're not doing things to help sustain the community as a religious, spiritual group, doesn't matter who. You know, all the spiritual people who say all these spiritual denominations, still there's an obligation to do something to help save the community, your neighbor, and stuff
that's
like
right.
that. That's just my opinion.
I agree with you on all that, for sure. That's how I feel about it too. Sorry, my brother. I agree with him. Yeah, time and place for everything.
Well, I just want to mention this. We're gonna stop at 9 o'clock tonight because I've been fasting all day and I need to eat, and so we're not gonna keep it going for 2 hours. But we want to bring the topic up. But I did want to mention about Adam Clayton Powell. Now, he was a politician, served in Congress for 3 decades. He did a great job in Congress, and he was a preacher, and I'm sure he told his congregation that what he was going to do for Harlem when he was at Abyssinia Baptist Church, the church that his father was pastor of before him, and the people that were loyal to his father and were loyal to his ministry, I'm sure that they, in great numbers, voted for him when he decided to run for Congress to represent them. Now, was there anything wrong with that?
No, but he could have did all that at community center or rec center or down at City Hall, not at the pulpit in the church.
Not even to tell them that he was going to try to have some better street lights put up in Harlem? That was wrong?
That's not his place there. That's not what people are in church for. There are places in public for all those announcements.
I just wonder, you know, what I go to church, but I just wonder when I go to church, what am I supposed to be getting out of it if they're not going to try to do a thing to help the community?
You wrong to ask that.
You
Your
I am?
Spirit
what is that?
Would be sitting up
what
in church
that?
Connecting with the Holy Spirit. Not
yeah, but the Holy
that.
Spirit is what the Holy Spirit is what should move people to go out there and fix these poor people's fences, like I was saying.
I want to say that. Go ahead. Go ahead, sister.
No, you go ahead.
Well, you know, the whole idea, somebody has to stand up and take responsibility. Now, in my community, where I'm born and raised at, East Palo Alto, we had redlining going on, and I didn't know what redlining was, but this white minister told me from the church, he says that redlining has occurred, and all of the white people, that was the dominant culture in this town, they moved to South Palo Alto, away from East Palo Alto, and they also had some other things that they said in terms of how they would blow the bridge up between East Palo Alto and Palo Alto proper by, you know, headed to Stanford University. And then today, you know, if people didn't stand up then, we would have lost the community way, way back. And I was a young man, say, about just got out of professional baseball. And I became active, and I ran for mayor of the city. But I used the ideas of talking about the reality of what was on the ground that I was experiencing. We were losing the high school, and the high school was going to be sold if we didn't do something, and we were moving to get incorporated. And then I had a friend that was a legal law student from Harvard, magna cum laude, and he had worked for Senator Naylor, Bill Naylor, who made a law that said if any entity had land, open land, that was being sold, you know, had to give it away to the community that was deficient of park space. And we were deficient about 26 acres of open land for the per capita of people. So if we keep sitting back and not making any moves, and just waiting on people to have faith and we're hungry or we need to save some land, then we always follow ourselves victim into a slave mentality. Well, we can't think, we can't do anything until other people decide for us what is best for us. Why can't we decide what's best for ourselves? Why can't I be a member of a church or a master or whatever and say I'm running for office and I don't need no votes, but, you know, if you like what I do, fine, you can, but you don't have to, because I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it and do it anyway. That's my opinion.
Well, you don't have to be a member of the church to help your community. You can be a volunteer worker. And as far as walking past these people's houses, like I said, my church is real big on that, especially for the elder people, fixing their yards, doing things on their houses. We have a committee, and anybody is welcome to help do those things. We also feed at different places, different sections of town, on different days of the week. A lot of money that we, like last year, we collected, our goal was to collect $5,000. We collected over $15,000 and start up a little school and clinic over there in Africa. They do a lot, you know, but and we don't sit up there and speak politics, but we have different committees in our church that takes care of different entities in the community and outside of the community. You know, but when the preacher is up there on the pulpit, I appreciate him reminding us of the Word of God to feed our souls, you know, and feed us spiritually, and that we all get together and praise God because he is worthy of the praise. And nothing else comes first up in that church.
I concur with you saying, sister. I concur with you saying. And I want to say just this little statement here. Let's see. It slipped in my mind. Well, let me grab it back. Okay, here it goes. In the service that somebody has to take ownership of a problem. And now if I take ownership of a problem and I'm a community person and I know I'm in good standing with the church, you know, fine, I could do it as the best form of charity, which is unspoken. Unspoken. I give charity, I do work unspoken, right?
Mm-hmm.
No look for no
right.
Personal credibility and stuff. But at some point there's a line that we have to also realize that the invisibleness of ourselves will lose our footprint in the community in which we serve if the other things are not being addressed. Now, you have a church that's active. That's wonderful. But in terms of, if you look at the numbers that in terms of the comparison, you will find that less work is being done and more talk about the problems and no solutions, and people need solutions. That's my opinion.
Well, if you start having all that in the church, what next? You allow bingo to go on there and dances and come on, what next? You know?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
It's kind of evening where I am in Rockford. But anyway, I wanted to kind of chime in a little bit and share that when I'm listening to everybody, What I go back to and get a lot from is this book, Miseducation of the Negro, and also Booker T. Washington, when he talked about education, he talked about God and everything else, but he kind of encouraged people who were educated to plant themselves among the people who weren't, and I think that's still relevant now because we've been kind of miseducated, and I like to refer back to him, and I get so inspired and so hopeful, you know, with everything that you guys are talking about. It's like it's solutions everywhere, but you got to almost remake yourself, you know, get back into understanding what education is for and realize that we have been miseducated. So I don't know whether any of you guys have read that book or not, but
yeah,
have you?
I read that book last night. I listen to it all the time.
Yeah, so everything everybody is saying is really nice, And there's solutions there. You know, sometimes I wish I could kind of talk to individuals, not, you know, through this forum, because you don't really have a chance to really talk and get to know each other. But I like to share and hear what others are doing, you know, themselves, you know. So that's kind of all I wanted to share tonight. But I'm enjoying the conversation. And there is tons of solutions.
Now you've talked to me, Sister Rashida, about the Muslim imam, which is a common, I suppose, substitute for that word is minister. Isaac Pasha. And I'm sure that, I don't know this for a fact because I'm not attending any of his services, but I have a strong reason to believe that when he's finished preaching and glorifying God and so forth and so on, that he invites people to roll up their sleeves and get on the bus with him and take their trip over there to Easter to fix that community center or whatever projects they are working on as part of his program for that particular Sunday, that particular meeting. In other words, I don't believe he just stops at praising God in the word, but I think that he encourages people to roll up their sleeves and help praise God with their physical energy. Do you see anything wrong with that?
No, not at all.
And neither do I.
Okay, we started off talking about a politician just because he's a politician coming in saying to people that I'm organizing a food giveaway program on such and such a day, and I would like your support to help me as I promote what I'm trying to promote for the good of the community. Now, just because he's a person that's maybe a political figure, maybe got a political name, and he wants to do that, I mean, preachers invite, you know, good people in their church all the time. I mean, I see preachers invite people up in the pulpit to talk about the scholarship that that the fraternity is going to give to the member of the church. I mean, there's a time in the church service.
Yeah,
that.
Announcements are made in the church all the time.
Yeah. So if the preacher
comes
in to
use that pulpit to persuade anybody who to vote for.
But we never brought up the issue of nobody talking about voting. The question was, to church leaders use their pulpits to promote politicians who promise to help the black community, or should they remain impartial and silent? Now, that politician may not even be up for re-election for the next 4 years. We're not talking about voting. I think we put too much stress on the idea of getting the politician voted in, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about getting the politician acknowledged so people can support what he's doing. Not necessarily running for the office, but whatever you're doing.
Let me try it if I could. Politicians typically have to sow seeds like 2 and 3 years or 4 years out before an election comes up, right? So that's all like sowing seeds in terms of saying what I'm doing
exactly. And
what expanding. So that's like sowing seeds. Now, we talk about sowing seeds of prosperity through giving people, paying it forward, right? Pay it forward. That's the idea of sowing prosperity. So the idea is that, you know, sowing prosperity is an action. That's work. That's not just talk. And the idea of prosperity in the community and the problems to solve, that's like, in my mind, the same thing. You're actually solving problems. You're helping people overcome poverty. You're helping people with debt to pay, to lose their homes and stuff, all kinds of things that we know today are really amping up, because this money in America is like really is like taking over everything. And, you know, and I understand money's good. We need it. But it's like a bloodline. But the fact is, if we ourselves don't engage ourselves in knowing how to build wealth, then what are we doing for? What are we here for? Just to be slaves and not do anything but just talk about things? Or can we engage ourselves in work and that work become a way to generate dollars that can create career opportunities for people? There's a whole latitude of stuff that happens.
Well, you know, Dr. Washington, now there have been times where churches should do whatever the direction that the passengers wanted to go in. And one of the reasons they have their tax exempt status is because they're supposed to provide a service that people would otherwise look to the government for. But I don't know if you remember the church down in Meridian, Mississippi, Reverend Luke Edwards. 96% of his congregation was on welfare. But those members got together and purchased supermarkets. It's purchased a 4,000-acre farm with tractors and hundreds of cattle. They built their own meat processing plant, bakeries, and restaurants, auto repair shops. That was doing something that was helping those people. And then there in Bedford-Stuyvesant in New York, that African Methodist church that was ran by Reverend Leon Sullivan out of Philadelphia, he started what, that Opportunities Industrialization Centers of America? That was in 160 centers, and they trained over 200, actually, they trained over 7,000 people and placed them in jobs in the 1980s. So that was a good thing. But all didn't do that. And I guess that's thus lies in the fact that the members of the organization didn't have a direct focus. In your Jewish synagogue, they sponsored their members toward businesses. In certain ethnic groups like the Somalis, look what they do with their churches. I heard of a Somali church raising about $35,000 in 30 minutes for a cause. And look at those that come from the Mideast and the susus that they have, where they come in, walk around a big tub in the floor and throw money in it. And after a period of time, the leader points to somebody and say, you take that and go open up that store down on the corner of a certain neighborhood in the hood. So those are good examples.
All money ain't good money. You talk about these welfare people starting up all these businesses in this church. You know, something like that occurred here in North Carolina, too. There was a church, and, I mean, they came up with ridiculous amounts of money. They put it towards good things, but you know who sponsored all of that? Where all that money came from? Dope dealers. So it was kind of twisted.
Well,
as far as
it's nothing wrong with that goes on all the time.
You're
where
right.
People take illegal activities and they use it for something good. Look at Pat Robertson. Look at the gold, the diamond mines that he owns in Africa. So wonder where all that profits goes. So people do what they have to do. That's the traits of human beings.
Yeah.
Human beings are going to do those things.
Well, I wouldn't take any dirty money if I knew it was dirty money. If I was the pastor, I wouldn't do that.
Well, when that person, he passed that basket around, and maybe his consideration of dirty money is the money that he can hear, the loud money, which they say they don't want. So, but when he passed that basket around, you don't know where that money's coming from.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if I knew the guy was giving
yeah,
me some
if you
money,
were the pastor, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, no, you take that money and give it away to somebody else because we don't take that money in here if I can help it.
Ooh.
That's a real issue there, very much a real issue of integrity challenge. But if I just say that, if you know, that's why I say the best charity is not being known, right? Now, if the dope dealer is putting the money in to be seen, he's making a power move. He's making a power move, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? They're making power moves.
You got that right.
Yeah, so we got to be careful of the power moves because that, you know, and again, that's a, you know, game on game. You know, gangsters know how to get into, and politicians are gangsters too, some of them.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. We have to, you know, we have to look at integrity at all levels because what we teach our young people is do the things that's important to the community, and the idea of dope dealers adding value to the community, let that be invisible. Don't make it a highlight newsreel that, hey, such and such is doing his thing, and you know he's a crook, a killer, and all kind of things that's destroying the people in terms of their minds and their spirit and their community. Yeah.
If you ever lost, and you may have, but if you ever lost a family member to drug, your attitude about the dope dealer was just shut them down. We don't want their money. We don't want them to be operating in our neighborhood or in our city. Just push them on out to the edge of town and then let somebody take it from there. So I'm just saying, if I was a pastor and I had any inkling that this guy was giving me some money that he made off of selling poison drugs to people, probably children, I would just say, man, you need to take your money and take it somewhere else. I don't want it. That's just my position.
I believe you on that, but just too bad that ain't always the case. And then go ahead.
You know your illegal pharmaceuticals kill more people than illegal drugs do.
Which
is a whole different issue, because the same thing could apply to the guy that has the biggest liquor store in the community that comes to the church.
Yes.
And is giving paid off selling
the
poison to people. It's pretty much the same thing, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Yeah,
but anyway, we could talk about a lot of things, and I don't want to shut it down because I love it when we talk, but I'm going to go ahead and just enjoy my meal. I've been fasting all day, and be quiet. I'll leave the show on, and if y'all want to keep talking, but I think
I have to disconnect too, Professor. I'm right now. I got to disconnect.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Well, I need to get myself ready for church in the morning.
Okay, well, let's just call it a night. We've had a good chat. Let's call it a night. We'll think of another interesting topic. And if y'all want to, contribute a topic, you can do it at the beginning of next week's show. But you can also text me. My number is 706-399-5006. And just text me if you have a topic you'd like for us to talk about next Saturday. Until then. God bless everyone. Take care. Have a good rest of the weekend.
God bless you
too. Okay, same to you. Bye-bye.
Bless it, Ramadan. Thank you.
Bless Ramadan to you. Thank you.